If you would, please find in your Bibles 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles 19 tells the story of one of the good kings of Judah, a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And though he demonstrated some poor judgment in the preceding chapter, chapter 18, and his dealings with Ahab, the king of Israel. Nonetheless, Jehoshaphat is generally recognized as a man who served God well during the time that he was a king. When we come to chapter 19, we see that after he has been involved in kind of an exploit with Ahab that was not advisable. In chapter 19, he returns home, verse 1 tells us. He returns in safety to his house in Jerusalem. And he's rebuked somewhat there by a prophet for his role in dealing with Ahab. But then the text goes on to describe how he would go about setting up judges to rule in his land. And we'll read in verses 4 through 7 for our text this evening, where Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem and went out again among the people from Beersheba in the hill country of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And he appointed judges in the land and all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, "Consider what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do, for the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness or partiality or the taking of a bribe." As I say, he's setting up judges throughout his kingdom, and he's taking measures to appoint worthy men. And as we have read, he encourages them to discharge their duties in an acceptable way. We see the quality of this man, Jehoshaphat, when the fourth verse tells us that he brought the people back to God. And very simply, what that's telling us is he led a return to God, a return among the people of Judah who had lived in a wayward fashion. They had, if you go back up to verse 3, we see where the Asheroth had been introduced into the worship there. That was one of the false gods of the of the neighboring kingdoms, Jehoshaphat is able to influence the people in such a good way that he's able to remove that, and that he's able then to bring them back to the Lord, to the ways of the Lord. And then we see, in keeping with this, he appoints these judges and seeks to appoint, as I said, the kind of men who would exhibit wisdom and virtue and honesty in the ways that they would rule over the people. And Jehoshaphat gives them a wonderful charge in verses 6 and 7. "Consider what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment." That's good advice. Consider what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. And he goes on, in fact, to expand on this in verse 7. He says, "Let fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do." Are you careful about what you do? Do you think about, do you consider what you're doing before you do it? You know, the more consequential an action is, the more carefully it needs to be thought out. But unfortunately, a lot of times we don't spend a lot of time thinking through consequential actions in our lives. Wise people know that it's never a waste of time to ensure good, sound thinking about the things that they do before they do them. If you turn over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14 and in verse 16, there the wise man says this concerning wisdom. He says, "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about being careful, about being very careful of what you're doing. And by doing so, hopefully, avoid some problems in life that will come inevitably if we are cautious, if we are not cautious about the way that that we live. We need to be very careful about our faith and our practices of what we do in religion. We need to be cautious and show great concern. And this has always been the case. God has always expected people to deal carefully with Him in the ways that they worshiped and served Him. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and in verse 3, He says, "O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may be and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." And you drop down to verse 12, and He says again, "Watch yourself, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of slavery." Then verse 25, He says that it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all the commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. And we could go on reading other examples of how the people living under the law of Moses were urged to live in a careful fashion in their keeping of the law. Those who live under Christ, in the covenant of Christ, are under no less of a charge. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 10, there the Apostle Paul writes, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation." He's talking about his work as an apostle, that preaching that he did. And compares to laying a foundation. Then he says, "Another is building upon it." That is, there is another. Actually, he's talking specifically here in the context about Apollos, who was preaching there in Corinth. But he says, "Another is building upon that foundation that he had laid." But then listen to him. He says, "But let each man be careful how he builds upon it." The Lord expects us to be careful in the manner in which we carry out our faith. Many people take little time to investigate what the Scriptures say about the faith of Jesus Christ. Many people give little concern, little thought to the practices that they engage in, beyond just the fact that it is something that they're pleased with, they are somewhat approving of, and so they'll engage in whatever the practice is, but give little thought to whether or not the Scriptures even address the practice. Too often we base our beliefs and our practices upon our intuition. And it just seems right, seems good, but we have no real basis upon which to know it is right. And the reason being because we've not been careful as we ought to be in our faith. But I'll tell you another thing that we need to be careful in. We need to be careful in the living of life, just a day-to-day and a day-to-day practice. And the living of our life is in many ways, well, in scriptures, the living of our life is compared to the writing of an epistle, the writing of a letter. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2. And the question that that I would pose to you is, as people read this letter that is our life, what do they see? Do they see someone who is careful in the way that they make decisions about their life? Think of the, and there are just so many, many different aspects of life that we could apply this to. But within our homes, within our families, we need to be careful about the way we go about living life. The Bible has a great deal to say to us about our families and the care in marriage. You need to be careful about who you choose to marry. That's not a particularly widely accepted idea today. The notion today often is, well, you know, you get married, if it doesn't work out, we'll go our separate ways. Well, that is not what the scriptures have to say. In Matthew the 19th chapter, for instance, we see where Jesus undertakes a discussion with a group of people about what was acceptable in the way of divorcing under the law of Moses. And at the conclusion of the discussion, after Jesus has spoken about what God's requirements are about marriage and the permanency of marriage, when we get to the end of the discussion in Matthew chapter chapter 19 and verse 10, the disciples said to him, the disciples who have been listening to this discussion that Jesus has had about marriage, the disciples say to him, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. They understood something. They understood that there was a great challenge in this, these expectations that God has about marriage. And so they certainly did not come away from this discussion with the notion that the people that Jesus was talking to, that, you know, you just set aside the marriage with no repercussions, no seriousness. No, it seems to me that they came away from listening to this discussion with the conviction that we all ought to have, and that is we need to be careful. We need to be careful about the marriage that we enter into with others. We need to be careful in our families, in our parent and child relationship. Here again, oftentimes in the world today, you'll not see the kind of caution being observed as the Apostle Paul gives over in Ephesians chapter 6, when children are told to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction. of the Lord. The whole point that Paul is making is we need to be careful. You need to be careful in this parent and child relationship. And care is not something that is always shown. Sometimes parents will provoke their children to wrath, even though they are charged by the Lord not to do so. Children oftentimes will become rebellious and fail to honor their parents. And may I say this to you? Particularly those that are, you know, entering those teenage years and you're gaining more independence, and sometimes the amount of the independence that you think you ought to get doesn't come as quickly as you think it would, and tensions arise and conflict happens, and one thing leads to another, and let me tell you something. Be very careful. Yes, your parents must be very careful, but you be very careful. Because I'll tell you what will happen if you let it happen. The conflict and the animosity can grow, and you can very well, at this point, critical point in your life, you can very well ruin the relationship between yourself and your parents for the rest of your days if you're not careful. Be careful. We need to be careful in our families, in our marriages, in our parent and child relationship. We need to be careful in the treatment that we administer to others, the way that we choose to treat others. Turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. The context here is where the Apostle Paul is discussing with his brethren how to deal with one another in some matters in which there are disagreements among them. And he's giving them instructions on how to abide with one another. He says, not all, verse 7, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. Now listen, but take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now he's talking with them about the eating of meats, certain kinds of meats that were used in idolatrous practices. Some of them had some conscientious objections to doing that. They were weak, he says here, and so they abstained from eating. Others did not abstain. Others did not have those scruples about it, and they eat. And in this chapter, Paul tells them it's fine to do that. You're not better before God if you eat, and you're not worse if you don't eat this meat. But notice what he says in his discussion about how to get along through this. He says, you be careful. He says, you take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. How were those people, particularly those that conscientiously could eat of that meat, what was their attitude to be towards those that couldn't, those that were weaker in the faith? Well, their attitude was to be, you be careful how you deal with them. You don't destroy them and their faith for the sake of your food, is essentially what Paul tells them here. You and I need to be careful in how we deal with one another. We need to show some concern for others who who may hold views based on a newness in the faith, or just a failure to understand as of yet through their study what the Scriptures say, they may hold some views that differ from us. Is our attitude to be calloused, unconcerned, uncaring? Well, if you're that stupid, you just go on and do whatever you're going to do. No, we need to show care. We need to be careful in the way that we deal with these. We need to be careful in the doing of good deeds. Over in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 8, we find Paul's instructions to the young preacher Titus. And he says to him in chapter 3 and in verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. I find that to be pretty interesting wording, that Paul would urge this preacher that these things that he was saying to him now were things that were to be accepted and spoken of with confidence, so that those who have believed God, have you believed God? Those who have believed God will, as a result of what they hear from Titus, that those that have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. The doing of good deeds is quite a critical aspect of being a Christian. We talked about this some last week, and in our individual responsibility to do good to all men, and we are not to callously walk away from the needs of others, even if it is not the church's responsibility to take benevolent action in every single case. We as Christians have an obligation to do good to all men. We have an obligation, from what Paul says here, to be careful about engaging in good deeds. Are you careful about that? Or is it just something that's kind of a haphazard, and well, if it just presents itself, I'll think about doing it. Are we careful to engage in the doing of good deeds? If we believe God, Paul says, then we'll be careful about it. You know, what we choose to be careful about and what we choose to be pretty casual and careless about says a lot about us. Josh Jackson is learning to drive, and I've noticed that he looks like he's a pretty good driver. Looks like he's pretty careful, and that's a good thing. He ought to be. He ought to be because of the importance of the activity and care and concern should be shown. Well, I want to tell you something. What we learned from Jehoshaphat and his advice is very much the same. You and I need to be careful about the practice of our faith. We need to be careful about the living of our lives. Careful about the way we treat others. Careful about the doing of good deeds. because they're important. They're critical. And if we're going to be the kind of Christians that we ought to be, then we'll be involved in each and every aspect with great care. Are you living your life with care before God? Do you demonstrate a care, a caution about doing things that please God? Do you demonstrate in your life a concern for that? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, that's the place to begin demonstrating that care. If you believe Jesus is God's Son and will turn away from your sins, if you'll confess your faith in Christ, if you'll be baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away, you'll become a child of God with then the responsibility to live carefully before Him. We pray you'll come in obedience while we stand and sing.